Today on Real Radio.
If someone is struggling with the rapture, or for that matter, a literal interpretation of Scripture, you will find an interesting thread going through their lives and those like them. Here's what you can find out about them.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series called What Christians Believe. We're in a mini-series, if you will, calling it What Christians Believe About the Rapture. And the main passage we're looking at from Scripture is found in the opening verses of John chapter 14, where Jesus promises that he will come again to receive his people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called What Christians Believe About the Rapture.
Those of you who know your Bibles, you're going to want to understand Luke 17 verses 24 to 37. By the way, it is also mentioned from another reporter's angle, that is Matthew and Mark. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record what I'm about to read here with you. John does not. There's a reason why. Luke 17, 24. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part of heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. This is the second coming. Every eye will see him. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, think now, how many of you have been reading your Bibles? Isn't it great? I got to tell you, since January 1st, I have been asked every day, including today. Pastor Jack, you reading? I'm right. I'm on it. I'm there. I got it. Ask me again. But every day, the Lord has put me in touch with someone every day since January 1st. And your question to me was, are you on your reading? Are you on? Yes, I am. And then I turn and say, are you on your reading? And you've been able to say, yes, I am. As it was in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? The flood came. Judgment came. People were washed away. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. That's spooky, right? Verse 27, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. That's a serious warning, right? That's a big deal. Jesus is saying that when I come back, judgment's going to fall like it was in the days of Noah, as an example. That's what he's teaching. Verse 28, likewise, as it also was in the days of Lot. Well, we just entered into Lot's. He's coming up on the scene here, and there's going to be some serious things that come out from Sodom and Gomorrah and the knowledge and the understanding we have of judgment. In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day. By the way, that little jingle, in that day, is never referenced in regards to the rapture. It has to deal with the coming of the Lord in the second coming and the establishment of his earthly reign. He who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Why? Judgment. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there will be two, and remember what your Bible says there, look at your Bible. It has men italicized. It's not in the original Greek Bible. It's not sex gender there. The King James translators put men and women in there because it better understood. Yet in the original, it doesn't, that's why it's italicized in your scripture. It's not men. So let's just read it that way. And so verse 34, I tell you, in that night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other will be left. A lot of people say, oh, the rapture, so you're going to be taken. and one's going to be left. But according to this passage, it's at the end of the tribulation period. No, it's not. Verse 35, two will be grinding together. The one will be taken, the other one left. Two will be in the field. One will be taken, the other one will be left. This is key. Verse 37, and they, that's the disciples who Jesus was talking to, if you read the whole chapter, they, the disciples, answered and said to him, where, Lord? What do you think that question means? Where what? That's right. Where are they taken? Not where do they stay? Where? Where are they taken, Lord? Jesus says to them, wherever the body is, by the way, the Greek is a rotting, decaying carcass, a stinky, ugh. There the eagles will be gathered together. The word here is griffin, a flesh-eating bird, a bird that eats, a roadkill, a bird that eats roadkill. You know, an eagle won't do that. You know that? Eagle eats things that are alive. Vulture, a crow, raven, those things eat dead. Those are unclean birds, by the way. Wherever the rotting bodies are, or body is, that's where you'll find flesh-eating birds, griffins. This statement appears in the book of Isaiah and in the book of Ezekiel, all in reference to, by the way, book of Revelation, all in reference to judgment in the end. So what's the point? The point is, in the end, watch this. I mean, you have to watch this because I'm going to, like, do it. No, I'm kidding. But it's when Christ comes back and he fulfills the judgment of Matthew chapter 25 and he separates the sheep from the goats, as it were. They're not sheep and goats. It says, as a shepherd separates sheep and goats, so Jesus will do this in Matthew chapter 25 after he comes back in his second coming. He will separate those nations that were kind to Israel during the tribulation period, and he will bless them. Those that were evil, he will judge them. And the Bible says that when he's done with them, their bodies will be left as a heap, and he'll call all the birds, flesh-eating birds, to come and feed upon them. Heavy, isn't it? Tremendous. Those that are left in Luke chapter 17... are left for a good thing. The Lord allows them to live into, as mortals, as humans, into the millennial kingdom. These are the ones who will propagate. These are the ones who the Bible says Jesus will rule over them with a rod of iron. Those that are taken to where the flesh is piled up and the birds consume them, fitting perfectly with the Old Testament judgment scriptures. Now we can rejoice in the fact that number seven is that it is the blessed hope of every believer. 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 through 8 says, Paul speaking, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. He's nearing his death, by the way, in that Roman prison. And the time of my departure is at hand. He's not catching a plane. He's about ready to die. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have, look, what does it say? Loved his appearing. Paul lived his life waiting for the imminent return of Jesus, and I want to argue with you in advance. If you think that this doctrine that is in the Bible would breed or cause or propagate a lazy, lackadaisical Christian life, you don't understand the Lord. If this truth that Jesus could come back tonight would cause us to go, you know, well, I'm not going to pay my credit card bills. I'm not even going to pay my mortgage. I'm going to put a white robe on and sit on top of the church building and wait for the Lord to come back. You know, people did that in the New Testament time, and Paul wrote to them in Thessalonians and said, listen, if you don't work, you're not going to eat. So get off your roof and go back to work. Listen, the truth of the matter is Jesus can come back any minute. That's why we're involved in God's work. That's why we want to spread the gospel around the world. Why? Because he can come back. Let's hurry up. Jesus says, do now the works of the Father, because night's coming when no man can work. So get going. Why? He's coming soon. And so that is one of our motivations. I don't understand people say, well, you know, if you teach that to people, they're just going to sleep on you. They're not going to do anything. I beg to differ. I think a real Christian is going to say, man, if the Lord's coming back soon, I want to get going for the Lord. I don't get that. Someone has said, you know what, that's escapism thinking. You know, you're just going to live your life and then, you know, tooling along and then whoop, you're out of here. Well, you know what? It's going to happen to somebody someday, somewhere, when the rapture comes. But let's not think too narrow here. We have brothers and sisters. They're not experiencing the rapture right now. They're dying in the Sudan right now. 2 million people have died for Jesus Christ in recent years. Their rapture didn't come. Look, your rapture may not come. You and I could die for our faith. You never know what's going to happen. That doesn't mean the Lord let you down. Look at the Boxer Rebellion in China and those wonderful believers who taught and believed that the Lord could come back at any moment. Yet they wound up dying for their faith for Christ. Did God let them down? No. Did not the Lord tell us, even in light of the doctrine of the rapture, that in this life you will have tribulation, that some of us, we will die for our faith by virtue of persecution? These things happen. But someone's living, or someone will live someday, a whole host of people. Maybe it's us. Maybe it's in this year of 2004. Wouldn't that be great? That the Lord is going to descend and call his church home. If we die or if we live, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know? And if I die by the hands of a persecutor or at the hands of a surgeon, blessed be the name of the Lord. So we need to keep that in mind. 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3 regarding this hope. Beloved, now we are the children of God. That means you've been converted, you've given your heart to Christ, you love the Lord now. He says, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. I love that. John must have responded to people saying, you know, am I gonna have hair? Am I gonna be thinner? Am I gonna be taller? Am I gonna be, you know, more tan in heaven or whatever it might be? You know, are my nails going to look better? Or I don't know. John says, look, it hasn't been revealed to us what we'll be like. But we know this, that when he's revealed, we will be like him. And that word is moral likeness. Isn't that good news? It doesn't mean you're going to have hair like his and you're going to have... No, it's moral likeness. Let us make man in our image. Moral likeness. When Jesus comes back, we're going to have his moral likeness. That's good news. Sin will be removed from us. We will not have the capacity to sin. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh boy. For we shall see him as he is. For everyone who has what? This hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. That is, Lord, today keep me on the straight and narrow. Lord, don't let me wander off. Because you know what? The hope of your coming is near, and I want to be not ashamed when you come, but I want to be walking right when you come. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28 says, so Christ was offered up once to bear the sins of many. That word many means to all those who put their trust in him. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin, for salvation. People, listen to that verse one more time. This is an awesome verse of hope. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That is, he died on the cross. To those who eagerly wait for him. Listen, don't answer. But are you eagerly waiting for him? Well, he says, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, or appear again, apart from sin, meaning this, I love it. When I come back to take you, and my children, they're going to be looking for me. My bride's going to be eagerly waiting. She's going to be anticipating. I'm going to take her. And by the way, the sin question has already been dealt with. That's what it says here when the statement is apart from sin. Sin has been dealt with. When? Church, when was sin dealt with? At the cross. He's not coming back for his bride. All right, come over here. Now, Let me pull out this list of all these boo-boos you've done since I've been gone these last 2,000 years. No, the sin question's done away. It's over, not to be brought up. It says when I come back, it's going to be for salvation. Man, that's going to be awesome. Very exciting. Number 8, what Christians believe about the rapture of the church is that it's predominantly a Gentile by nature. It's predominantly Gentile by nature. What do you mean by that? It's an event, as we said earlier, it's church exclusive. The church is not exclusively Gentile, though. Keep that in mind. There is some Jewish blood in the church. Remember, the early church was predominantly Jewish believers. Very few Gentiles were in the New Testament or the first century church. Or I should say, perhaps the first 15 years of the first century church. And then God, through Paul, began to preach the gospel to the Gentile world en masse. Now, you and I live in a day when the church is predominantly Gentile. If you're not aware of what that might all mean, if you're not a Jew tonight, you're a Gentile. You say, well, I'm an Italian. You're a Gentile. I'm German and Portuguese. I'm a Gentile. You say, well, I'm Irish. Too bad. You're a Gentile. This is the way that it is. The world's divided up into Jews and Gentiles. The church is predominantly Gentile tonight, and it will be when the Lord comes back. Is there traces of Jewish blood in it, so to speak? Yes. Just like there was with Ruth, you know, and the Boaz and the Boaz and their descendants. Beautiful. Boaz, as you know, we went through that study, is a type of Christ. His bride was a Gentile. Isn't that interesting? Ruth, by the way, is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Another woman who's in the bloodline of Jesus Christ is a woman by the name of Rahab, a harlot, a Gentile. Gives us some hope, huh? Now, you see, the rapture is predominantly Gentile by nature. Listen to this, Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 12. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they, that is the saints, sang a new song. And this is what they said. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, Gentiles, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was, listen, this is nearly impossible to put in English. That's why it sounds so silly in a moment. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. A bazillion million. It's innumerable number. The word in Greek is very cool, but in English it's like 10,000 times 10,000, thousands and thousands. It's just overwhelming amount. It's great. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength, honor, glory, and blessing. People from all over the world of every background. And that's a very comforting thing. Number 9, what Christians believe about the rapture of the church is that it demands a literal interpretation of the Bible. That is very important. People, get a load of this. If you read the Bible without any external influence, if you just, you know, if you never had a Bible, you never read it, and you rode up on an island and a little, you know, Gilligan's Island thing on a raft, you get there and there's nobody around, and there's a Bible there. And you opened it up and you started reading without any external influence. You would come to the conclusion, in fact, you may so receive the Bible as it is that the thought would never enter your mind because you're taking it literally. Unless it says not to, you know, and it says where you shouldn't. I heard a voice speaking to me like a trumpet. Well, that means we know this for sure. There was no trumpet talking. That we know for sure in Bible interpretation and understanding. And the Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a what? Dove. Now we know something about the baptism of Jesus. Whatever happened to him, there was no dove. I know that comes as a shock. But there was no dove. The Holy Spirit came upon him like a dove. This is important. I know that blows some of your minds. Man, I have a dove on my car. I've got a dove on my car. I don't know what to tell you. But it was no dove. Just like with John, there was not a trumpet saying, John, it's me, the trumpet, speaking to you. No, he said, I heard a voice speaking to me like a trumpet. It was clear, it was loud, and it was calling me to attention. Very important. Okay, literal interpretation and understanding of the scripture. If you take a literal approach to the scripture, you must conclude for the rapture. And by the way, mark these words. If someone is struggling with the rapture, or for that matter, a literal interpretation of scripture, you will find an interesting thread going through their lives and those like them. Here's what you can find out about them. They will be people, tragically so, this is true, because they don't take a literal interpretation of Scripture, they are prone to legalism, terribly. They are legalistic churches, they're a legalistic believer, they have no joy. They try to pump up some joy sometimes, doesn't last very long, because they live under a pressure of performance. Because they cannot go to Scripture and read it wide open and say, for example, all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They read that and scratch their heads and they say, how can this be true? They go to Jeremiah and they read, I have loved you with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn you, God says to the believer. And they look at that and they say, oh, I wish that was true. They would never tell you and I, well, I don't believe that's true. But you know what? Their feelings, their faith, their hearts deceive them, betray them. They're broken. They're bound in legalism. It's tragic. Another thing is this. They are always in fear of losing their salvation. Always in fear of that. Why? Because when they look at scriptures that say things like this, Jesus says in John chapter 10, verses 28 and 29, that he holds us in his hand and that we are also in his Father's hand, and no man is able to pluck them, you, out of his hand. They look at that and they say, man, I wish that was true, but it can't be true. What he really meant was this kind of a meaning. Just take it at face value.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study called What Christians Believe About the Rapture. It's actually a series within a series taken from Pastor Jack's topical studies called What Christians Believe. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. You know, we get a lot of phone calls and emails about this series that we're in right now called What Christians Believe. And folks want to know, is the audio available? And happily, I will tell you, yes, it is. So we're continuing to extend our offer for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. We'll send you the entire series, all on one MP3 CD. There's not a better and more convenient way to listen to Pastor Jack. That's Pastor Jack's complete audio series, What Christians Believe, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. All you got to do is go to realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the banner that says What Christians Believe, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear from you. 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.